Wisconsin voters decided to amend the state constitution in the spring election. It's Wednesday, April 3rd, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump won the Wisconsin primaries, but protest votes hint at future challenges. And Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson will serve another term, but Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg lost her re-election bid. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Today is a perfect way to stay current on Wisconsin news, including headlines with context from around the state. It's your support that makes it possible. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Wisconsin voters approved two constitutional amendments yesterday that changed the rules for running elections in the state. One bans the use of private funds to administer elections. The other restricts the use of private consultants. Both were introduced by Republicans after the 2020 election. That year, communities throughout the state ran elections with the help of private grants from a group funded by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. GOP backers say the amendments will protect the integrity of elections from the influence of private money, while critics say they could undermine trust in elections by underfunding them. The amendments passed two consecutive sessions of the legislature before being placed on the ballot. They'll both be in place for the August primary and the November general election. President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump easily carried Wisconsin's Democratic and Republican primaries yesterday, but as Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, both saw protest votes that underscore a dissatisfied electorate.
Over a million Wisconsinites cast ballots. More went for Biden than for Trump. But nearly 50,000 Democratic ballots were marked uninstructed. That's a protest against Biden's handling of Israel's war in Gaza. The effort spokesperson, Hala Ahmed, says they want to show that Democratic votes can't be taken for granted.
In Wisconsin, the margin is so narrow that it would be a big mistake to ignore that.
On the Republican side, nearly a fifth of voters marked their ballots for someone other than Trump. The leading GOP challenger was former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, with nearly 13%. She dropped out of the race weeks ago. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
In his first trip to Wisconsin since 2022, former President Donald Trump railed against the Biden administration's handling of the southern border yesterday. As Joe Schultz reports, he also gave Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde his endorsement.
Trump's rally effectively kicked off his general election campaign in Wisconsin. He focused primarily on immigration during his speech. He says the Biden administration's policies have led to a flood of immigrants coming to the country.
We will terminate every open borders policy of the Biden administration and begin the largest domestic deportation operation in American history.
His immigration rhetoric came after he effectively sunk a bipartisan border security deal earlier this year negotiated by Senate Republicans in the Biden White House. Trump also used the event to endorse Republican Eric Hovde in his race against Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson cruised to an easy re-election victory last night. It's his second landslide win in the last 3 years after taking over for former Mayor Tom Barrett in 2021. This time around, he'll serve his first full 4-year term as Milwaukee's top leader. As mayor, he's focused his efforts on public safety and growing the city's population. He spoke to supporters at the Potawatomi Hotel and Casino after declaring victory. He focused on public safety and strengthening economic opportunities in the city.
Our efforts on economic development are opening doors by aggressively attracting new businesses, fostering job creation, and expanding opportunities for every resident of Milwaukee.
Johnson will be sworn in later this month. Voters in Wausau chose a conservative challenger over incumbent Mayor Katie Rosenberg. Although it was officially nonpartisan, the race was characterized by party spending on both sides. Rob Menser has more.
Rosenberg is a progressive with close ties to state Democrats. The Democratic Party spent about $200,000 on ads supporting her. Challenger Doug Dinney benefited from direct donations from the Marathon County Republican Party and third-party spending by conservative groups. The key issue in the race was the city's skyrocketing water rates. In 2022, all city wells were found to be contaminated with PFAS. The city instituted new filtration systems in early 2023, but facility costs led to rate increases. In a statement Tuesday night, Dinney promised to be a mayor for all and vowed to get to work. His victory was an upset in a city that voted for Democrat Joe Biden in 2020. Rob Mentzer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, living in Wisconsin, you might know a few people who've grown up on a farm, but the number of family farms are decreasing. In today's Wisconsin Life, we'll hear from a mother-daughter duo about their family's life on the farm. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Tyler Ditter with a story about growing up on a farm.
Life on the farm used to be a common experience for many in this state. But with the number of family farms dwindling in Wisconsin, fewer people grow up ingrained in the hardworking family tradition that has bonded communities for generations. Eileen Bartolo talked about life on the farm in Wayside with her daughter Rachel as part of a StoryCorps mobile tour stop in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
The farm has been in the family since 1863. My grandpa, when he was running the farm, he was injured in a barn raising at one point. When they were putting up the sides of the barn, you know, they'd build it and then put up the sides and people would help with that. So at the age of 14, my dad kind of was taking over the farm and doing the majority of the farm work.
So then your dad took over when he was 14. So the years that he was in charge of the farm, was he working there until his death in the 90s or?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
100%. He also, you know, had some hired help. And then raising six boys, he had some built-in help.
Yeah.
And then also he was involved in community things, too, you know, involved in either farm committees. He was a bank director. He was active in the telephone company. So sometimes he really needed the hired hands. But in my growing up, he was primarily just working on the farm. And Dan and I did a lot of the farm work with them because by then all the other brothers were gone and away from home.
So the years you were actually on the farm living there was when you were born, 1953?
Till I went to college. I came back a couple summers and worked on the farm also then, but really pretty much till I got married.
Do you have any specific memories that stick out from growing up on the farm?
Oh, yeah, we had to get up for chores every morning.
What time?
Be out there at 6 o'clock for milking. That was always when we started.
Do you have a rooster that woke you up?
My mom. And I remember a number of times when she had to come back from the barn and arouse us again. So apparently it wasn't effective the first time.
That continued on into the next generation. I remember that. Did you take turns? Like, was it 7 days a week you're out there, or did you get a couple days off while the
family
took over?
It was 7 days a week. I remember being out there, you know, before school, and then we'd come in and get ready for school, and we didn't take a lot of time for that, you know, a quick breakfast and get ready. I remember wearing a scarf over my head always so that my hair wouldn't have a lot of barn smell, you know, when I was going to school and stuff. You know, you think about that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure a classroom of farm kids could get
a little different than others.
Yeah, so that, you know, certainly was the work ethic that you learn, the responsibility.
So the farm, as you knew it, and what you grew up with, burned basically to the ground in 2001. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, it was very devastating to see all that. On the other hand, it was also very heartwarming because that very day, you know, the neighbors all came over and with trailers and trucks because the cows had to get out of there and they had to do some fast work to figure out where all those cows were going to go because they had to be milked that night. You know, you can just see the beauty of the farm community and that it's still going even though so much time has passed. You know, to see that, oh yeah, that still is carried on through the next generations when the need is there.
Yeah.
Those core values are there in that caring for community and caring for each other, which was pretty overwhelming to see.
That was Eileen and Rachel Bordalo. Their interviews were recorded at StoryCorps, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday people. Excerpts were selected and produced by Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of WPR and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Tyler Ditter.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday, busy news day after the election. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us on Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crowe. Our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. We'll be in that podcast feed again tomorrow morning, even without election results. Every single day, we're right here for you. So have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.